Did you fall from heaven? Because if so, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Oh, pretty good. Thank you to Stop Eating Bees for that catchphrase submission. Stop Eating Bees. Oh, that's good advice in any month of the year, including this one. June Gloom is still with us. Dad's grads are having a field day. You got about two more weeks, dads and grads, before you got to cut the shit and get out of here. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another week. My name is Scott Aukerman, and we have an incredible show. Coming up a little later, we have a cameraman. Oh, someone who looks through that the aperture. We'll talk a lot about apertures and lenses. That'll be exciting. Plus, we have a guy with an announcement. Okay, well, that'll be a little later on the show. But we have a very incredible A-block here for you today, because we have not only a returning guest, but two guests who have never been on the show before, which means, of course, we have to get their first episode. And after we tape this one, we'll have to tape your last episode. It's sort of like Rent. We do first episode, last episode. And you can do as many as you want in between, but we need to make sure we get that last one. He is the person who's been on before. He is a director. He has directed such films as The Hottest of Fuzzes, Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim Saves the World, and he has a new film coming out this Friday starring these guys who have never been on the show before, who have an incredible career, 25 albums deep. They have been in the music business since the early 70s or the late 60s. I'm not quite sure, but this is they've been going in the 70s, 80s, 90s, hundreds, thousands, I guess 2000s, 2010s, 2020s, 2020s. All of these years they've been doing it. They are the stars of this man's new documentary called The Sparks Brothers, which comes out this Friday. Please welcome back to the show, Edgar Wright, and for the first time on the show, Ron and Russell, a.k.a. Sparks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good to be here. Yeah,
Edgar, you're applauding me.
I applauded Ron and Russell.
Oh, you're applauding them. Okay, would you give me a little bit? You know, it's only common courtesy.
Okay, there we go.
I had a couple questions about the non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry to make you sign that. Initial here, by the way, and sign here.
Yeah.
All these tabs. Welcome back to the show, Edgar. Great to see you. And thank you for that applause. I say on Spark's behalf. And guys, what an incredible film. Mainly I'm saying this because it is my return to the silver screen. Let's count my movies. We have Austin Powers in Goldmember, where I played a young Michael Caine. We have my wife's film, Origin Story, where I played the part of himself. And now we have Sparks Brothers, where I play the part of himself, my second himself part. This is exciting.
You're getting typecast.
I am. I played a cop in so many things. Sarah Silverman Program, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and now suddenly I'm himself.
There's a really good stuff, too, that Edgar's shown us a lot of the outtakes that they're pretty amazing. And he's, you know, said that possibly he's going to be doing a DVD extra of just your outtakes.
Just the bloopers, because the floor was so slippery. And then Edgar's constantly eating bananas and tossing them over his shoulder. I was just slipping and sliding everywhere. And it was really rough for me. So that's cool that you're putting out a blooper reel, Edgar.
Yeah, blooper reel. Special. It's going to be vinyl too. Vinyl
on vinyl.
Yes, wow. a vinyl, a remix one of it, an extended version
in banana yellow.
in select theaters, you remember like the film Clue, where they had like three versions, right?
Different ending. Yeah, you could look at your local paper. Mine was the Los Angeles Times, and you could look up a theater, and it would have A, B, or C next to the show times, and it would tell you which what ending you could go see, so you could like go try to catch them all, as they say about Pokemon, I believe.
Well, because there's no kind of print ads in the papers anymore, like basically just as a random two versions of the Sparks Brothers, there's the sort of the full film, and then like sort of other lucky viewers will just be able to watch only the rushes of your interview and nothing else.
I mean, there's a market for it. Don't discount it yet. Yeah. No, it was a privilege to be part of this film. It's an incredible story. This is a documentary about you guys, Ron and Russell, the band Sparks. Like I said, you've been around for so long, so influential upon other bands and other artists. And this is the first filmed documentary ever about you guys. And it happens, I don't know if you know this, but to be directed by Edgar Wright, who's like a major film director.
We didn't know that until now, but thank you.
Sure, no problem. You got to read those credits at the end. That's why they have them there.
I never save a credit, so.
we just looked them up on Wikipedia, and it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't know that I directed Scott Pilgrim Saves the World until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
You got to stay for those credits. All those Marvel movies, you probably have no idea what's going on in the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
Those are vital.
I mean, I don't want to ruin it, but there is a mid-credit scene in the Sparks Brothers.
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil that.
I watched the entire film, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But yes, you don't want to ruin it for people. So people, when they go see it, don't walk out in that mid-credit scene, because there's still like half of the movie still yet to come. Is that right?
Yes. There is a second, there's a second 2-hour movie in the middle of the credits.
This is a lot. You say a second 2-hour movie. This is like a 2.5 hour
no, less.
Added together. 2 hour and a 20-minute period added together, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I figure, listen, Billie Eilish has a 2.5 hour documentary and she's 18. Mm-hmm. So the least you can fucking do is give these guys 2.25 hours.
Well, it's such an interesting film. Let's talk about it generally, and then I'll ask some specific questions. Do we have an agreement about that?
We'll run it past our attorney. So okay.
Your attorney, by the way, this dude is standing over your shoulder, just like.
If we can just, pause the whole, the podcast for like maybe like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No problem. We'll just pause. Yeah. We'll just pause it right now. Okay. Here we go. And talk to your attorney. And we're back. And okay, so your attorney okayed everything. Everything's good.
Yeah, it was fine. It was okay.
Okay, great. All right. Well, so Edgar, why did you want to do a documentary, first of all, and then a documentary about these particular subjects?
Well, it was sort of staring me in the face because I kept saying it aloud to people. I'd find that like Sparks would come up frequently, either with fellow Sparks fans or people that who didn't know them and I thought should know them. And at a certain point, I felt that making a documentary would be easier than me having to explain Sparks over dinner.
Because you can't go around to every single person in the world one by one. You know what I mean?
It was a choice. I was like, sort of, there was two ways of doing it. One would be to speak to everybody one-on-one. And that's the rest of my life.
Just knocking on doors, ringing doorbells.
Knocking on doors, yeah. Or make a documentary for people to see and say, watch this instead. But it was something I said it aloud enough times to people that eventually somebody kind of called me on it. It was Phil Lord, in fact, at a Sparks game.
Former guest of the show, of course.
Former guest of the show. And whilst we were standing in the balcony of a Sparks gig, I said, you know what? The only thing that's stopping these guys from being recognized as being one of the most influential bands on the planet is somebody needs to do an overview. Somebody needs to do a documentary. And Phil said, you should do that movie. And I think not backing down, I just said, I will. And then after the gig, talking to Ron and Russell backstage, then I told them, then it was a vocal contract that I have to make this movie.
So anyone dares you to do a movie and you have to do it? I mean, I dare you to make a movie starring me.
No, I don't think so.
All right, no, it's that easy.
What about the young Michael Caine story?
Oh, my goodness. How about the story of a guy who goes to audition to be young Michael Caine, does an impression of Michael Caine, gets the job, then goes and meets Jay Roach and Mike Myers, and they say, okay, has a 30-minute conversation with them about comedy, and then they say, okay, turn around, and they just look at my ass, because all it is my back is in the movie, and they interspliced it with footage of Michael Caine. What about that story? Would you direct that?
I think that's an interest. That's one of, I mean, that's, if I don't do it, Ryan Murphy will do a 10-hour FX series about it.
About a hapless young actor. So this is an interestingly structured movie when it comes to music documentaries, Edgar, because most, and I don't need to tell you this, I don't know why I directed this question at you, but most of the music documentaries that you see are about bands. Bands generally are famous when they're very young. You know, like when they're young and sexy and good looking. And so most music documentaries, like I watched the Joan Jett one the other day, and it's like, wow, she was really young and she was struggling. Then she got very famous and then wasn't popular for the last 35 years, you know, and they just like cut off whenever they're not popular anymore. This is a film that covers every single one of your albums in detail from the early 70s to now, the album that you put out just last year. That's not even a question. So I don't know. I didn't end on a question mark or anything like that, but please comment on that.
Well, for my part, I think one of the reasons I wanted to make the documentary is because I was becoming increasingly impressed with Spark's output, especially like in this century, because it seemed to go against the kind of the trajectory of every other band. It's most, you know, the Rolling Stones have sort of been doing a greatest hits tour since 1981. And so on the flip side, it seemed amazing to me that every 2 years, like, Sparks would put out a new record that was as ambitious, if not more so, than like, to me, there's not even a golden period of Sparks, because like there is the albums from the last couple of years could go head to head with the ones from the 70s. And that's very rare. So that's sort of the reason I wanted to make the documentary. And in fact, actually, even the poster is Ron and Russell now, rather than like a Bee Gees documentary, I guess, because two of them are dead. I was going to say, yeah. Wait. Okay,
let me just
work through my logic. I was about to say the Bee Gees documentary doesn't have a poster of them now. And I think, well, there's a good reason for that. Okay, let me back up. I would not want to see that poster. Okay, so let me back up. An Aerosmith documentary would have a picture of Aerosmith in the 70s. Like, right. So to me, like, and the poster for the documentary has Ron and Russell now, because like, I mean, Sparks are in their prime right now. And in fact, like, you know, like the last two albums went top 10 in the UK for the first time since 1975, which is
incredible.
Like, I can't really think of another band that's done that. It's so that was part of the reason for doing it, is that it wasn't the golden period is still happening, you know.
Well, it's an incredible story. My wife and I watched the film together, and she is not a fan of this style of music usually. In fact, I don't even know if she's ever heard any music, come to think of it. I think she tried to sing Happy Birthday to me once, and she got halfway through and gave up. So I don't even, you know, this is like trying to teach an iPhone to a caveman with her. But she was so enraptured with the story. She, like you say, it's a 2.25-hour movie, and we talked about you guys for an hour afterwards about the various parts of your career. She was so excited to get to know you guys' music. So it really is not a movie necessarily for music fans. It's an incredible story that spans generations.
Did she find you hot in the movie?
Well, she did take a picture of the screen. So yeah, she's still into me, okay. Ron. So all yeah. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, I do have to say, Ron, she's Team Ron. She came out of it as Team Ron.
Wow.
How does that make you feel, Russell?
I would be very careful.
So she's got a type, if you know what I mean. Weirdos. But it's really a great film, an incredible achievement. I wouldn't be surprised if a little boy by the name of Oscar comes knocking on your door come February saying, may we give you this envelope with your name on it, and may you accept this guy with a sword. What do you think about that, Edgar?
I think it's worth, this is not even a joke, this is a point. The Ron and Russell have a different shot at an Oscar next year, because they also have the film Annette coming out in the summer, directed by Leos Carax, starring Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard. So, Ron and Russell, you could be... I don't want to jinx it. I'm not even going to say it out loud.
Multiple nominees. Best song, Best subject of a documentary. Do they give an award for that? I'm not sure, but they should. Best actor for your performance in this film. You know, what usually wins best documentary? It's usually about some boring subject, about some like genocide or something like that. This is so much more fun. This should just win. What do you think?
How about better than genocide?
That should be the pull quote on the poster, aforementioned poster. Well, it's really great, guys. I implore people to see it. It'll be in theaters this Friday. Will it also be on video on demand or just theaters and then moving to video after that?
Yes, it will be in theaters first.
Theaters first.
Theaters first, and then I don't know what participating cinemas have the Scott Aukerman Rushes version of the film.
How hard was it to cut me almost completely out of the film? Was that personally painful for you, Edgar? No, I got some good stuff. I think you cut to me three times, I believe. And I say maybe approximately 13 words in the film. Is that about right?
You like to that as maybe as kind of just so you feel better about Goldmember, you are in the movie as much as Mike Myers is. How do you feel about that?
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm at equal status with Mike Myers, finally. Well, it's a great film. Congratulations, guys. I really would like people to go out and see it this Friday. How many points do I have on the film?
That's we're going to have to bump back to Ron and Russell's attorneys.
Yeah, okay. We got to cut. Okay, let's talk to Ron and Russell's attorney. Let's pause the show for a second. And we're back. And, well, it looks like I have no points on the film. Which is a surprise to me.
Yeah, but your upfront fee was so high.
That's true. The Sparks Brothers in theaters this Friday. It's really a good time at the movies. We need to take a break. When we come back, we have a cameraman. Boy, Edgar, this is going to be in your wheelhouse here because you work with cameramen and women, of course, on your movies, I would imagine. I mean, I'm watching them, so I would think you do. We also have a guy with an announcement, so that'll be very exciting. We will be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang, more Edgar Wright, more Sparks. We'll be right back after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we are back. Edgar Wright, returning guest of the show. How many times have you been on the program, would you say? This is your fourth, maybe?
I think it's my fourth. I remember being on with John Hamm. I can remember. Yeah, one with Joe Cornish. One with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and the third one with John Hamm.
That's right. Yeah, and that was for Baby Driver, right? So
yes.
Yeah, so this is the fourth. And we have Ron and Russell of Sparks here as well, making their first appearance of many, I would hope. And we need to get to our next guest. This is exciting. He's been on the show before. He is a cameraman. Please welcome back to the show, Jack Furze. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, it's no problem. Good to see you.
Appreciate being here.
This is Edgar Wright. He works with cameras quite often.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm actually coming from work. That's why I've got so much gear. Climbing gear, grappling hook, smoke bombs, taser.
You use those as a cameraman?
Yeah, to get the right shot.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
I got to climb up high and.
Sure. Yeah, but that aerial view. I don't know if you ever use that, Edgar. The sort of like a view from the top of a building down on
bird's
something.
Bird's eye.
Yeah.
We call it the top shot.
Do you really? That's
yeah.
Top shot. So
it's
Jack,
a top shot. I do a lot of top shots. and I like the smoke bombs. You know that. You know I like the haze.
Well, yeah, of course. It adds a little texture to everything. You know, it's like putting on the fog machine when you're shooting a movie or something like that. Yeah.
And the neck brace, of course, is new.
Oh, you just pulled that out.
Yeah, I took a spill.
Oh, I'm
I was
sorry.
Shooting something above Crime Alley, and my footing just got out on me, and
that makes sense. Yeah, that sounds like something that would happen to a cameraman, so that's not suspicious at all. So, I didn't notice it because it's colored the same color as your shirt.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to, you know.
Color coordinate with
color
your neck
coordinate.
Brace.
I don't want anybody at work finding out that I'm hurt. They'll maybe not give me as much.
And many assignments. Yeah. They call them assignments in the journalism.
In the biz, they call them assignments. I didn't know how technical you wanted me to get on the show.
Oh, okay. You can be
a
little more
technical. I don't know how inside baseball things are here.
Right. Well, and this is Sparks, by the way. This is Ron. Yeah, this is Russell.
Hey, guys.
Yes. Jack Furze.
Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you.
Never met a cameraman before. Nice to meet you.
How many? So do you use a lot of Vaseline on your lenses? Or
I do. I've got a lot of lubricants. explosive gels in case I need to make a pop for something. Have you guys heard of this vigilante around Los Angeles known as the Night Wolf? Have you heard of this guy?
Oh, yeah. He's come up on this show before.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this guy, Ron and Russell? You live in L.A. Have you heard about the vigilante who's been making trouble for
I won't be surprised if you don't know who he is. Word has not been getting out about him, which has been causing him to have some problems because a lot of people think he's just a guy in a costume. And he's not. He's trying to fight crime. And I appreciate Scott letting me have the chance because I'm a fan of this guy and I think he's actually doing good work.
That's right. You've brought him up on the show. That's right.
Are you sure?
I think you have. Yeah, because I'm interested in you as a cameraman, but occasionally every time you've been on the show, like this guy tends to come up. What's his name? The Night Wolf.
Yeah.
The Night Wolf. Yeah. Vigilante who attempts to arrest criminals.
Yeah, he does. And I'm in touch with him a little bit now.
You are?
Yeah, he's seen some of my...
You opened up a back channel?
I did, yeah. Finally got an email address and he got in touch with
me. What's the email address? Do you mind saying it here on the show?
No. Feel free to hit me up.
Hit you up?
Yeah.
I didn't mean your email address. I mean the Night Wolf's.
Oh, the Night Wolf's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's... Night Wolf is a lot of numbers. I mean, take out a pen and
paper. Oh, yeah. I got one right here. Okay. Uh-huh. You said it's Night Wolf?
Night Wolf, 900-99009. And that was the only one available.
Not too many numbers. You said a lot of numbers. I was expecting like 25 numbers. That is literally 8 numbers.
Okay. To each his own.
I see more numbers than that on my paycheck.
Okay. Big brag there.
Can I ask a question? What does the Night Wolf's costume look like?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I'll tell you what it doesn't look like.
You've taken photos
of this
guy. I've
taken some photos of him, and he has improved his costume. It used to be a ski mask with some glue that had ears on it, and the ears fell off, and they messed up the Night Wolf's face pretty good because the glue was hot. But he's improved his costume, and it does not look like a bear, despite what some local teens might tell you.
Some sarcastic local teens. Mm-hmm. Right.
He looks a little bit more like a wolf now.
Okay, he looks more like a wolf than previous.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. So if I were to come across him and think, is that a bear? No, it looks a little more like a wolf. That's probably Night Wolf.
It's probably Night Wolf.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And you take photos of this guy. This is what you do for your newspaper that you get these assignments from?
Yeah, well, I'm freelance.
Oh, okay.
And usually I do kind of puff pieces at the end of the news. I'm trying to do grittier stuff. I keep pushing stories about the Night Wolf. I'm getting no takers.
No traction on these Night Wolf stories?
Which is a shame because it's a good, there's meaty stories in there.
Sure. Like what was the last time you saw the Night Wolf?
Well, he had an incident where someone stole his car.
Oh,
And actually, now is a good time to maybe get word out. If anybody has seen a aqua blue Pontiac Sunfire.
What year?
It's the year 2000.
Oh, okay.
It's just a classic car.
Sure, yeah. The one Conan sang about.
Oh, did he?
In the year 2000? He had that famous
Hit. He had that song about it.
Yeah. You a comedy fan?
Love to laugh. People with us are surprised by that. I love to laugh.
Yeah, you seem like a very serious guy.
Mm-hmm. My smoke bomb guy is super funny. Terry, he is a riot. And you go, actually, not to be a downer, Terry did pass away.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. When?
Last year.
Oh, no.
It's been rough. I'm trying to find a new smoke bomb guy.
How did he die?
Suicide.
Jeez. Okay. Sorry to hear. Why? Yeah. Well, what was going on in his life that he seemed to have no other...
He seemed like he was always joking.
Yeah. He's so funny from what you say.
Yeah, he was so funny.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Maybe it was an accident. I don't know.
A smoke bomb accident?
Well, yeah. He was gassed to death.
Oh, it sounds like an accident, quite honestly. What paper do you work for again?
I'm in TV journalism.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay. TV. Mm-hmm. What channel?
2, 4, and 7.
All of them. Okay. Mm,
whoever has me.
Okay. You're like a Nightcrawler guy.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't mean
the superhero.
Right.
The not movie. To get him confused with, the Nightwolf.
Right. Because I have nothing to do with the Nightwolf.
Okay, let's make that clear, the few times that you've been on this show before, Edgar and Ron and Russell, he's been talking about the Nightwolf a lot, which...
There's a lot of coincidences, a lot of things line up. I mean, for example, I also drive a 2000 Aqua Blue Pontiac Sunfire, which was also stolen.
Whoa! So someone, there must be a thief out there stealing this very specific
car.
Yeah,
it must be easy to steal.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout for it.
Well, Edgar,
white interior.
Edgar, did the film Baby Driver, so he knows a lot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Any tips, Edgar?
I was just curious, how do you get shots of the Nightwolf yourself? Like,
well, you must just point the camera at him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just holding the camera. I'm just holding the camera. Edgar, it's almost as though you're implying that I set up the camera... And then I go off and do other stuff, which is preposterous.
Do you even own a tripod? I mean...
I don't need it. No, all handheld. But I do keep a lot of glues on hand at all times, just in case.
Glues?
Yeah. I got glue bombs.
Sure.
I got...
Does the Nightwolf, like, make... Does he make an appearance? As in, like, does he... Would he use something like a smoke bomb to make an appearance or disappear from the scene of a crime?
He does. He is a big fan of smoke bombs. And
not so much these days, though, I was reading, because it's almost as if he's running out.
He's also having a problem finding a new smoke bomb
supply
guy.
Issues.
I mean, I always theorize that maybe I'd run into him at Terry's, because, like, clearly we both have a love of smoke bombs.
Yeah.
But
do you make your appearance in the newsrooms with a smoke bomb?
I've been known to accidentally drop one a time or two, and that has gotten me in hot water over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can bet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fox won't use me anymore.
Oh, no. That's Channel 11.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I didn't name it.
Yeah.
Smoke bomb mishap.
Ron, Russell, any crime happened to you? You guys live in L.A. I mean, have you ever had any kind of have you ever had a car stolen or anything stolen out of your yard or anything like that?
Someone move in next door, a fan moved in next door to me.
Oh no.
Yeah. And she befriended my next door neighbor who was a single bachelor. Maybe a bachelor is always single. Is a bachelor always single? I don't know.
I can confirm they are. Yeah.
You're a bachelor.
I'm unlucky in love. And
that's not surprising to me.
Quite was engaged.
You were? To whom?
Yeah.
To whom?
She was a lovely gal named Judy. Passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, God. There's a lot of people passing away in your sphere.
And it's... I'm over it. The Nightwolf is very hung up on her death.
Did her death coincide with the first appearance of the Nightwolf?
Well, the Nightwolf showed up soon after his parents died.
Oh, that's
but
right.
My fiance, kind of reinvigorated the Nightwolf a little bit weird. He's a good guy.
He saw you being happy with her, and that made him happy as he was stopping crime. What would the Nightwolf do about in Russell's situation? Yeah, fan
moving.
Yeah,
Nightwolf doesn't have a lot of fans, so I'd have to use my imagination a little bit. It's weird. I would set up, maybe some camouflage.
What would you camouflage? Russell himself or?
Yeah. Camouflage myself, I guess.
The house, maybe paint the whole house in camouflage and then she wouldn't know where you lived anymore?
Wouldn't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could get some sort of urban ghillie suit. So instead of a ghillie suit where you cover it in twigs and leaves, maybe some old mail, wrinkled up newspaper.
Interesting. When you said a ghillie suit, I thought that you were talking about Gilly from SNL. Can you remember Kristen Wiig's character where she would say sorry?
Oh, God, yes. Because I love to laugh, Scott.
You would
so
talk
I'm
about that with your
that.
Smoke bomb guy, wouldn't you?
Terry loved that stuff. He loved a lot of gas puns.
What are gas puns? I don't know that I've ever heard one.
I guess just inserting gas
into sentences.
Into sentences.
I don't know that I could on a bet.
Yeah, he was a talented guy. I sure as hell can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of a kind. R.I.P.
Yeah.
A lot of butt stuff, too. But
oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Very crass.
Yeah, very crass guy. Mm. Well, R.I.P. to him, though. Mm. Gone too soon. Smoke bomb guy. It's hard to get a smoke bomb guy. Do you have a smoke bomb guy, Edgar?
I should do.
You should, right?
If you find anyone, pass the name along.
None of these English guys, either.
What's wrong with...
We've had a bunch of them on the payroll for years.
How many smoke bomb guys do you usually employ?
We have to have both American and European because there's a visa problem.
Oh, yeah, and different outlets, too, to charge them.
Right. Yeah, the conversion rate with smoke bombs can really screw you up, and maybe you're using too much smoke.
Yeah. No, we've had that sometimes on stage. It was just too much, and then we had to fire the guy.
You did it in the middle of a concert? You fired someone?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I would love to see that in the middle of a concert. Just bringing an employee out, firing them.
There's too much smoke. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not left with any other alternative but to fire the
No, guy. It's brutal. I have been fired filming a concert before, and it is not fun. In the middle of the show, they just pulled me out. And I mean, they busted me. I wasn't, and you know, maybe Edgar was onto something. I did step away. I just propped the camera up on a stack of books and I went away real quick.
What were you doing? I mean, what was so pressing that you couldn't perform your duties filming this concert?
Well, my two wolves, Justice and Payback, were howling. And
I forgot about your two wolves.
Yeah, I've got
You own two wolves.
I've got two pet wolves, Justice and Payback, and they get into all sorts of trouble. And so they were out in the Sunfire. And they were making a ruckus. I thought something was up. So
I
went to check on them and they canceled me. So those bastards, Aerosmith.
Oh, they're hard on their employees, mm-hmm. but not as hard as Sparks.
No.
You run a tight ship over there.
We do.
They probably wanted more Vaseline on the lens and you weren't willing to, you know.
You seem to really be concerned with Vaseline on the lens, Ron.
Well, we all have our thing.
And Ron's right. Those guys are just addicted to the stuff. They can't get enough Vaseline on the lens. I mean, they want it everywhere.
Not just the lens from what I'm hearing.
No. You got to Vaseline them up before the shot. You got to Vaseline
the
lens.
This is not part of your job when you're a camera person.
No. And it's gotten me in a couple of scrapes. I mean, imagine trying to climb up to get a top shot when you're all covered in Vaseline.
Did you call it a top shot?
Top shot. You're a radio guy. It's a vocal warm-up you can do. I mean, I'm not used to being on this side of the microphone.
I understand. What side are you on of the microphone usually?
Usually right behind it.
Mm, okay, pointing it at someone, at the night wolf a lot of times.
Yeah, trying to pick up the sounds of the night wolf.
What sounds does he make when he's fighting crime?
Well, just to clarify, it's supposed to sound like a howl.
Oh, okay. So if you're out there in the streets of Los Angeles and you hear a howling, that is the sign that the night wolf is out there protecting you, usually.
Yeah.
What does it actually sound like?
Well, I believe... someone hit the Night Wolf sound modulator, and
that's just what you are kind of.
This is what I'm theorizing,
right? Okay,
because it does sound just like a lady laughing.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it sounds like an obese woman just giving a really rich chuckle. Is what I've
and
it's been
not,
described
that,
to
I'm
by
sure
me.
I'm sure that's not the sort of vibe
It doesn't
vibe
strike
that
fear
Night
into,
Wolf,
into yeah. criminals.
Well, criminals are a cowardly lot, usually, and they are...
Scott, I got to challenge that. In my experience, they're actually pretty tough.
They're bad. And the sight of a wolf out at night does not frighten them.
No.
They're all business.
They're all business. Frequently, they've told the Night Wolf, and this I've heard secondhand.
Mm, of course.
That he looks like a guy dressed up as a bear.
Not so much anymore, I would hope, because now he looks more like a wolf.
Right, yeah. No, the new wolf costume is also getting some criticism.
Oh, really? Oh, no. What's the criticism?
oh, that, yeah, looks like a bigger bear.
Still looks like a bigger bear. This is terrible. Well, this is terrible, Jack. It seems like your life has really gone downhill since the last time we saw you. And through no fault of your own, accidents happen, certainly, but...
Well, there's always a bright side. I am riding the bus now, and I'm learning a lot about the city on the bus, and, you know... I do want to clear one more thing up.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people have been accusing the Nightwolf as being a super spreader because his mask doesn't cover the bottom part of his face.
Oh, no. Is this like the Batman mask where the nose and mouth aren't covered?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So wait. So
and he does. He is not. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not doing that.
Okay. Have you had COVID, by the way?
I did, yeah. I got it pretty badly.
Okay, great. Good to know. All right, well, we need to take a break. Can you stick around, Jack? Is that okay?
Sure, yeah. It's a long time till the bus comes back around this part of town, so okay. I got a long wait.
Okay, great. Well, we will be right back with a guy with an announcement. Oh, I have been waiting at the edge of my seat wondering what this announcement is, so we'll finally figure out what it is. We'll be right back with more Jack Furze, more Edgar Wright, more Ron and Russell, a.k.a. Sparks. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we are back. Edgar Wright and Sparks, the Sparks Brothers, coming out this Friday in cinemas, as they say in England, in theaters, as they say here in the United States. And I don't know what they call it elsewhere, but you can bet. How many countries is this?
Kino? Kino in Germany?
In Germany?
Right.
Okay, what about in La France?
Cinema.
Cinema?
Le cinema.
Of course. Did you guys ever live in Paris?
Did we ever what?
Did you ever live in Paris? I'm saying Paris a little like they do there. Paris?
oh, Paris. We did actually for a year.
Fun.
What's the crime scene like there?
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, a lot of crime.
A lot of crime. You know? Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
It's known for the city of crime.
That's what they call it, the city of crime.
Apparently, the Nightwolf was there very briefly, just waiting for planes to connect.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Did you call him the Nightwolf? Because that actually is maybe better branding.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we're on to something.
When in France, he would be Nuit Lupin.
Oh, this is not bad. Maybe Nightwolf should just pack it up and move to France.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. He's not getting a lot of traction here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It worked for Jerry Lewis.
It sure did. And he invented video playback.
That's right.
I was trying to say something that would get Edgar interested.
What does he have? What is the award that Jerry Lewis has in France? The Legion d'Honneur?
Yeah, the Legion of Honor.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nightwolf is next. Maybe people don't get the Nightwolf in Los
Angeles. The Nightwolf might need to do a telethon. I haven't found a cause yet, but that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
the Nightwolf's kids.
These are all good at Nightwolf's kids. Maybe stay away from Nightwolf's kids.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know. I don't know if Jerry's kids would really fly these days either. But we do need to get to our next guest. And look, this is very exciting. I've been hyping this up for the last hour. We have a guy with an announcement coming on the show.
Okay.
Have you ever made an announcement? Yeah, please film it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's picking up his gear. That's good to see. Please welcome. We don't need the smoke. We don't need the smoke. Please, the Vaseline. Ron wants the Vaseline. This is exciting. He's a guy with an announcement. Please welcome, for the first time on the show, Buck Tango.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me. Hello. Let's just get right to it, shall we?
Let's tarry no further. I've been talking about this announcement. We don't want to have any kind of deferment. We don't want to have any sort of small talk, anything. We just want to get right to this announcement. By the way, this is Edgar Wright.
Hello, Edgar. Hello, Ron. Hello, Russell.
Hi there.
So, and this is Jack Furze over here.
Jack, good to see you. Thank you for filming me.
Is this enough Vaseline? We want to get to your announcement, of course, but is this enough Vaseline?
You know, I mean, if we're trying to get to my level of acceptable for Vaseline, we're going to be here all day. So this is good for right now.
I got a lot of Vaseline on there.
Okay, well, I mean, look. Go nuts, my man. this is just something that I need to just get.
This is your announcement we're getting to?
I think we should just get right to it.
We don't want anything else in the way of this announcement. We want to get to it right now.
Let's get right to it. So for years, for my entire life, I've been bullied. I've been persecuted by the cools.
Is this the announcement that you've been bullied?
It's part of it. This is not breaking news to me or anyone. Everyone knows.
Right.
I'm a walking target.
Well, you seem to be a weak, feckless looking.
I'm a little bitch. I'm just a.
Well, if you want me to teach you some wolf jitsu, I do have a dojo where I do teach some self combat.
What is wolf jitsu again?
Wolf jitsu is my own patented brand of martial arts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So and it's basically doing martial arts while making wolf sounds.
I mean, if you want to simplify it.
It's reductive, but that's what it seems like. Okay.
I'd be happy to learn a martial art. I can tell you from experience, it's not helped me in any sort of way. I've tried BJJ. I've tried karate.
What's that now? BJJ?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay. I thought that was something else.
I believe I've been on the receiving end of some BJJs every once in a while.
I have tried it.
You dabble.
They don't click. I just can't, because I'm so feckless. I'm so weak. I'm so wee.
You're slight.
I'm slight. I'm paper thin. I fold. You understand?
Yeah. When you turn to the side, it's very difficult to see you.
That's why I have to. That's why I'm facing this issue head on. And what I'm here to announce is that I'm building a mech.
What?
I'm building a mech. I'm building a mechanized suit for me to exist
okay.
in.
Okay.
All right, great. I gotta say, I'm sorry I missed the shot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you weren't filming?
I wasn't paying attention for a second.
Were you Vaselining that lens?
This was my big thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do we need to go back? We can take it again, right?
Let's do it again.
Do it with that kind of intensity. I'd love to see. Edgar, maybe direct him with what he needs to get into character here for a second.
I I need to kind of like just hear, like just go a little slower. I missed it the first time.
Okay.
I think none of us understood what you were saying when you said mech too. That was the biggest problem.
I see that there are a lot of issues.
I was worried it was some sort of slur.
I think a story would be a lot more compelling too with maybe some underscore,
Do you guys want to hum something maybe?
I don't know. Yeah, because it's kind of boring. I don't feel much of your story.
I would love. Okay, so I'll just get into it. I was born.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
We have the Vaseline. We're slopping some on. Okay. Now, Edgar, we need you to say, of course, that magic word that I love to hear when I'm on set, which is action. I'll let you say that. And then Russell, since it was your idea, why don't you start humming, giving him a little underscoring. Here we go.
Action.
I spent my entire life in the shadows of bullies. One day, I've had my ass kicked every single day for my entire life. No one gives me any sort of respect. But that is not happening ever again, for I have an announcement. I'm building a mech.
A what?
Yeah, I thought you were going to clear this up.
What a mech is like, have you
seen? That was great, by the way. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Edgar.
I think we got that.
I get added.
I think we got it. If you were making this movie, Edgar, would you say we have it cut print, or what would you desire another take?
I would maybe I'd say that was great. And then I would look over at my producer and do a big eye roll.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. I'll take the
music. That was only temp music, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We'll pay for something.
Sure. No. I'm open to feedback here. I am just I'll explain what a mech is. So a mech is mechanized robotic suit that I'm going to wear to increase my size and stature, so I'm no longer bullied. You understand?
That's what a mech is. And this is a thing that exists?
It's, have you seen, it's perhaps not unlike a Gundam or a Pacific Rim type.
Sure.
A Pacific Rim once.
Were you giving or receiving?
I think it was a shared
experience. 50-50.
I just think it would, if I increase my size and stature, maybe people will start taking me a little more seriously. It's not a big mech. It's just like a, like I'm five, like six. Five and a half, you know?
Yeah, on a good day.
On a good day.
On a day where you've been, like, sleeping upside down, doing your stretches?
Yeah, I do. I sleep on one of those, like, an inversion table, so I'm always upside down. All the blood rushes to my head.
You are, by the way, we should say for the listener, you are upside down right now.
I'm upside down, yeah. I'm in inversion mode.
Which is maybe, when you said mech, I thought maybe you were upside down and I was hearing it wrong. Like, it was chem or something.
I thought maybe
we had
to solve some sort of riddle.
Right, yeah. Like to pass over this bridge over here.
No riddles involved. I feel like it's very straightforward what I'm trying to do here. I'm just building a robotic, basically an exoskeleton.
If you just said exoskeleton, I would have been with you.
Yeah.
If you said like the power loader in Aliens, I would have been with you. But
yeah, it's exact.
The mech thing sounded too close to an Irish slur for me.
Let me make that clear. None of that's in my vocabulary.
I think the music was wrong too.
Yeah, it was a little overpowering. I wasn't going to give you a note, Russell, but I mean, we're talking about it.
That's fine.
It was all wrong. I mean,
I'm going to self-criticize a little bit. I overdid it with the Vaseline.
Are you looking at the footage now?
I'm looking back at playback and it is a mess. It looks like a Van Gogh painting.
Also,
looking back at the footage, is like what, like normal Vaseline, I would call it one Sybil Shepherd in moonlighting.
Yeah.
And I think you went to five Sybil Shepherds in moonlighting.
Yeah, you went to 10 Barbara Walters with that.
Yeah, I Liz Taylored it. And
yeah, yeah. Also, I got to say, Edgar, the way you said action, it's not to my taste.
I mean, yeah, if I was going to give a note, I was going to say I wasn't really motivated to act better than what I performed.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You really want someone who's going to be like a take charge personality, and Edgar, he's just too nice.
I can act. I can go now.
I guess this guy.
I hear that Clint Eastwood doesn't say action at all. Clint Eastwood just says, let's see what happens.
It's longer than action. You know, he's making more work for himself.
Yeah, but you never know with that guy. I mean, before you know it, he might just be talking to a chair.
Hey, and here's the other thing. Why not say, all right, make my day? Like, that's his catchphrase.
People would start applauding.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I've got another one. On Hong Kong action movies, like on Jackie Chan movies, they just say go because it's one syllable. Because as I'm sure you know, like action is two syllables.
Yeah.
And if you like mistime the two syllables, something could go terribly wrong as well.
Yeah. You might confuse action and think there's action afoot.
Yeah.
And then drop everything and go rush to it.
Well, I mean, that sounds like something the Night Wolf would do, not something you would do.
I suppose so, yeah, or just any good citizen.
I challenge any action to come my way in my new mech.
Please stop saying mech. At least say mecha or something.
Okay, mecha. Doesn't sound better either. That sounds like the Holy Land.
Yeah.
What's your first name again?
My name's Buck. Buck Tango.
Buck Tango.
Well, okay, so if you were in a Godzilla movie, you would be Mecha Buck. See, now I'm in. Now I'm sold.
Yeah, that's how I prefer to be addressed when in the Mecha. You call me Mecha Buck.
No, Mecha's not good either, hearing
Exo
it.
Exo Buck.
Exo Buck. Look, this is why I brought it here. It's an announcement.
Let's beat him up.
You know what? I implore you to fuck around and find out, Scott, because I'm wearing this thing.
You're wearing it now?
Yeah, I told you. It's not
because I was describing you as you were,
Okay,
you look.
Okay, so more notes.
Is that why you're upside down?
So you're saying it needs to be bigger. Is that what we're saying?
You're not imposing at all.
Not even a little bit. You weren't see nothing.
You heard me. I called you weak. I called you feckless.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going off my headshot that I sent you when I auditioned.
Thank you for
program.
That, by the way. Yeah, we cast on headshots here on the show.
I mean, I'm pretty intimidated, but I'm just a simple cameraman.
You're not the Night Wolf.
No.
What would the Night Wolf make of this guy?
Oh, he would destroy this son of a bitch.
I'd like to see the Night Wolf try. In fact, I challenge the Night Wolf to a fight.
Holy shit.
Okay, well.
Buck, if you're 5'6", why are you 5'2" in the exoskeleton?
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's very uncomfortable.
Do you have to crouch to get into it?
When I built it, I 3D printed this thing, and I had the dimensions just like a little off.
Oh, 9/10 scale?
No, yeah. Yeah, just about 9/10 actually.
Oh no!
And you know, it's killing my knees. It's, you know, it's not a problem that I used to have at my stature, but these knees
you have
are,
to squat the entire time you're
squat,
in this.
Yeah, and oh man,
I mean your butt looks amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone loves to get a look at the camera.
I gotta give props to your butt.
Look, I got a wagon back there, okay, and I won't make heads or tails about that. Only tails.
Sure.
But I implore anyone to try to fuck around with me. Okay, fight me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to, certainly.
No, I never would. I'm just running the camera.
All right, Ron, Russell, Edgar, anyone want to
fight? Yeah, anyone want to fight a Buck Tango here? Anyone?
You wouldn't want to tango with Buck Tango. That's what I'm trying to get started as well.
It seems like you probably couldn't go downstairs in that suit.
Okay, yeah, well, no. If I'm on a floor, you know, above ground, I have to either, you know, get on an elevator because the knees don't bend. They don't bend. Or, yeah, I just toss myself out a window. But and hopefully try to do that like, cool, like, superhero land. But I always, I fuck it up. I haven't practiced it enough yet.
It honestly looks like you're on the toilet in that suit.
Okay, like, okay, yeah, did I build it on my toilet? Yeah.
I mean, the downside my is, office. Yes, it does look like you're on a toilet. The plus side is it accentuates that big ass.
Look, I got a big juicy can, okay, and I couldn't fit it in a regular sized, what shall we call it if it's making everybody uncomfortable? Robot suit an exoskeleton.
I mean, you look 36, 24, 36 if you're 5'2".
Those are my exact
The Sir Mix-a-Lot special.
Yeah.
Call it the sexoskeleton.
The sexoskeleton. Now,
I'm starting to like maybe, well, that's the thing. I'm not trying to be forward here, Edgar. I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to put an idea in somebody's head. I'm just trying to get taken seriously here.
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, I love to watch you walk away. I hate to see you leave, of course.
Well, I'm not trying to leave. I'm trying to make my presence known. I'm trying to tell anybody who's trying to fuck with me.
To be honest, you don't look scary.
Uh-huh.
You look very sexy.
Yeah.
From behind.
I look like I'm on the toilet.
You look like you're on the toilet, and you look weak and shorter than you normally are. What good is this mech? I don't even like to say it.
You're a cinematic ass model in a lot of ways. You played Michael Caine's ass.
Michael Caine's ass. I'm the guy to talk to about this kind of stuff. And look, he's outshining me here.
I guess, you know, I sort of thought I was doing, you know, so this like I that's why I was like, can I, you know, I made a press inquiry. Like, I like to promote that I'm bigger now, but
yeah,
you know, but
it's not just, working.
Seems like the butt is too. The butt's too good, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's stealing all the focus.
So if I'm completely sideways, you can't see my entire body, but my butt is visible. You can see the cheeks.
What you look like?
There's like a shelf.
Yeah.
Just needs to have a documentary made about him, I think.
Yes. Edgar, are you interested in the story?
I would love to have people clued into my plight.
Well, also, you shouldn't fabricate a storyline in a documentary, but say this appearance on Comedy Bang Bang for you, Buck, went really badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just let's hypothesize. We're not saying it's going badly.
No. I feel very secure.
He came to make an announcement. He made his announcement.
I view that as a W.
Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking. I've just got my film head on. Forgive me. But it goes badly. You go away. You've been scorned by the public. And you go away and you think, like, I will have my revenge. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, then and only then can you become the supervillain you are and take on the Night Wolf. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I never even considered the supervillain angle. I guess I am pretty pissed off and want
to
fight. I
mean, you're out here asking to fight random people. I mean, you're asking to fight a band.
Yeah.
With 25 albums to their credit.
I didn't realize it was that many albums. If it was fewer, maybe I could stand a chance.
And Aerosmith with like 12 albums,
Yeah, I could take on Aerosmith.
With all that Vaseline?
Yeah. Oh, they'd be slipping and sliding all over the place. They couldn't make heads or tails of me.
They got a lot of scarves.
difficult to catch Aerosmith.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True.
Well, slip, slide around all the place.
But you seem like an angry guy, but not imposing, of course. I mean, your anger makes me laugh at you a little more than be frightened of you.
I guess that's the thing I'm trying to remedy here. I thought building a robotic exoskeleton was going to really make me imposing, but it's in fact made me worse.
That's supervillain shit right there.
Hmm.
You know, that's what Lex Luthor had, the big battle suit, you know, the purple and green battle suit. That's what you look like right now.
I did light it kind of villain-esque.
Yeah, a lot of shadows.
A lot of shadows.
Shot from below.
The smoke, yeah, worm's eye view.
You dollied as well. Like, you built a makeshift dolly here while he was talking.
I'm kind of handy with stuff when I'm in a bind.
Sure. But it's just not working. It's like Lex Luthor making that suit to distract us from the fact that he's bald. No, we're all looking at that head.
Okay, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have modeled my entire, you know, life after Lex Luthor.
Also, why did you shave your entire body?
So you wouldn't see my big fat ass.
Right. Why is the ass exposed?
It's like the So Fine, that movie where the jeans are clear, the ass.
It wasn't previously exposed. I did try, you know, it's just something that happened when I put it on. I didn't weld the ass on properly. And
you got to get a helper with that.
A helper? Well, I'm self-sufficient here. I made this entire robotic exoskeleton myself. I made it with all my materials.
Yeah, it's just not working. Tell you what, throw a punch here at Jack Furs.
Sorry about that. My wolf jitsu kicked in and I happened to just put you in an arm bar.
Ow.
I didn't mean to do that normally.
But that's what happens with wolf jitsu. It just
kicks
in.
Yeah, it just kicks in whether you want it to or not.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the root of my problem is that...
We don't care about the root of your problem.
No, this is the thing. Nobody cares about me.
You made your announcement. You're done.
I'm fucking done. I'm done.
Do you have other announcements?
I'm interested in those. Yeah. Okay. Propose to one of us.
Okay. I got an announcement. I'm going back to the drawing board on my exoskeleton.
Good!
My new exoskeleton is in pre-production.
Bravo.
That's
Tango.
Tango.
When is that dropping, by the way?
You know, I made the last... It's taken me, unfortunately, 15 years of work on this thing, so probably another 15...
We'll see you in 2036.
It's going to be another, 15 years.
By then, Sparks will have another 25 albums out. Well, then certainly Edgar will have made another documentary about them.
I won't fight them then. That's 50 albums to their credit. I can never fight them.
No, Aerosmith, they're done, though. They'll still only have the 12.
So new exo suit dropping 2036.
Yeah.
Any other announcements?
When somebody has an announcement, how many are they supposed to have on deck just in case?
Three backups.
Three backups?
Yeah.
You know what? I can make a smoke bomb.
Whoa. Your wolf ears have pricked up, metaphorically.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have them.
You know, I mean, I know my way around machinery, of course, because I did make this robotic exoskeleton that everybody seems to absolutely hate. But I know how to make weaponry, all sorts of kinds of, I guess you could call them gadgets.
Yeah, some things you would put in a utility belt.
Yeah, because my exoskeleton is chock full of them. It has a smoke bomb thing. It's got an electric ray.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a car?
A car? Well, I can easily fashion a car. It's like not a problem.
But you don't actually own a car?
No.
But you could make one. How long would it take you to make one?
Well, I mean, a robot suit takes about 15 years. I think I could. A car's a little easier because I've seen more of them. So,
but what about just buying one?
Well, I'm not going to just buy somebody a car.
Do you have a job?
My job is that I make...
This is not a job. This is not a job.
Okay, well,
look.
It's a sort of a privatized business.
I have another pitch.
Sure.
I'm not saying you are the Night Wolf, but Buck here could be your Robin.
Are you
Robin.
Saying that Buck is the Night Wolf? I never thought
of this
before.
No, I'm saying that Buck could be Robin to, like, Night Wolf.
Okay,
he could be, like, his, you know...
Sidekick. Yeah.
I'd love to be put in touch. I mean,
Robin was slighter than Batman and weaker and more laughable.
Mm-hmm. He had that big ass. Out.
Yeah. Night Wolf 900-9-0-0-9.
Those eight numbers we talked about.
Mm-hmm. At yahoo.com.
Edgar, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
When you said Buck Tango isn't the Night Wolf, I started thinking maybe Buck Tango is the Night Wolf because we don't know who the Night Wolf is.
Yeah, no, we don't.
It could be Buck Tango. He could be putting on this, like, you know how Clark Kent and Superman were never seen in the same place? And then suddenly you find out that Clark Kent is Superman. I mean, like, he put on those glasses. Did you not hear this?
I didn't. I thought Christopher Reeve was playing two parts.
Oh, yeah. He had a double role, like in Dead Ringers.
Yes.
No, he actually was Superman. So maybe Buck Tango is the Night Wolf. You've hit on something here.
Okay. Well, he's not. He's not.
What? Were you
no,
listening?
He's not. Yeah, no. Sorry to interrupt on you guys whispering, but I heard what you were talking about. It's not. It's a crazy idea.
I think Buck Tango's the Night Wolf. I mean, you don't know.
Well, he's too small. I don't know for sure, but I know he's not.
Okay, I'm getting very defensive.
I mean, I wouldn't get that defensive. I wouldn't say that I am or am not the Night Wolf. I, you know.
Could you howl like an obese woman laughing?
I think so. Let me give it a try.
Sounds too much
well,
like a wolf.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's the Night Wolf.
All I'm saying, guys, is you have one duo on this show. You have Ron and Russell Mayall of Sparks. And also on the show, you have the Night Wolf and Mecha Buck. I'm telling you.
Two duo. And then you and me are a duo.
We're a duo. Wow. Yes.
A trio of duos.
What a great title for this episode.
Not exactly. I mean, the Night Wolf isn't here, but in spirit, I guess he's all around the city.
Okay. Well, look, come back when you have a better announcement. That's all I got
to
say.
I guess I'll think of an announcement. I'd love to make more announcements, but this is what I had.
Unfortunately, that one was no good. But look, we're running out of time. We just have one final feature on the show, and that is, of course, a little something called plugs.
Scott really wants a short plug song, so here is a short plug song.
Nice!
Wow.
That was Scott really wants a short plug song. Taking notes, I appreciate that. That was by Nuclear Primavera. All right, guys, what are we plugging? Obviously, we have the Sparks Brothers coming out this Friday in theaters. We're plugging that, of course, yes?
Yeah, I think we're plugging that.
Yeah, at least we were before the announcement.
Yeah.
I know. That kind of like, I think sort of that overshadowed the whole show.
It kind of took the wind out of our movie.
I didn't mean to sort of steal your thunder, but.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but sorry. So I didn't mean to, you know.
Thunder Stealer. That's some good branding.
Hey, I can get used to that.
No, not for you, though.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sparks Brothers in kind of kinos and cinemas and theaters. And then also the Scott Aukerman cut is playing in one random screen.
Yeah, one random theater. We won't tell you where it is. And then what are your other movies that are coming out? When does Annette come out? Do we know?
Annette is premiering. It's the opening film of the Cannes Film Festival.
Amazing.
In July 6th. And then it's to be in theaters, I think, shortly thereafter.
Amazing. Is it up for those prizes they give at the Cannes Film Festival?
It's in competition.
Oh my God, I bet that means competition, although I'm not sure.
It does. That means competition in English.
Wow.
I've been practicing saying thank you, Spike Lee, in French. So.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Wow, that's going to come in handy, I hope. That's amazing. That's quite an honor. And I saw the trailer for it. It looks so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
In French, it rhymes. Merci, Spike Lee.
Spike Lee.
Yeah. It's like Spike Lee.
Emily in Paris. Merci, Spike Lee. And Edgar, when does One Night in Soho open?
Oh, so close. Last Night in Soho. But that's
No. That's what I'm talking about. Last night. The one night.
Last Night in Soho opens in October. In the US, it comes out on October the 22nd.
Oh, well, that's great. Three films for people to see, but most importantly, go out and see Sparks Brothers this Friday. And are you guys, you're midway through making a new record? Is that correct?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. So that's thrown in, and we're going to be touring in the first part of next year as well. So
incredible. Where can people get those dates? Where do people get all their information about Sparks?
Well, if you go to the Sparks on Instagram and Sparks on Facebook, Sparks on Twitter, Sparks on Sparks website. But yeah, it's all the U.S. tour is going to be announced, I think, in a couple of weeks. So we're doing a lot of shows, 17 shows in the States. And then we go to Europe and we're doing, I think, 17 or 18 shows in Europe and then to Asia as well. So
incredible. Yeah. You guys have a 2022 to remember. This is going to be a packed year for you. Yeah. I mean, following up on what was the best year to be in Sparks? Would you say, is it this year? Was it in the early 80s? Was it the 70s? What's like the most fun year you ever had in the band? Well,
none of them have been particularly fun, so...
No, really, it's just one long slog. That's the untold story of the documentary. They hate doing it.
No, I will say this year, it actually, you know, just the idea of kind of being able to sustain things for so long. It really is, it almost feels like an athletic challenge to be able to kind of keep doing it at this point. So I feel best about these times.
An athletic challenge, and Edgar is your athletic supporter, one might say. Jack, do you want to plug anything here?
Yeah, well, now that I've been riding the bus, I've been able to catch up on a lot of podcasts. I've been listening to the Action Boys podcast.
I hear that's a good one.
It's good. I actually brought a real review.
Oh, okay.
This is an actual review.
Let's hear
from
it.
A listener who knows one of the hosts. I listened to your Action Boys podcast. It was a debasing, foul, and low experience to hear you speak. Please don't ever resurface in my life again. You're not welcome.
And that's someone who listened all the way through.
Yeah, wow. That's someone who listened to an episode, and you can have an experience like that for yourself.
How do people get listen to this show? Is it on anywhere podcasts are, or is it a Patreon?
It's Patreon podcast. Go to Patreon, Action Boys. With a Z.
With a Z. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And that's every week?
Every week. Every Monday. We break down. They break down.
Wait, is Nightwolf part of this?
No, but I think you would enjoy it.
Okay. Good to know.
A classic action film.
Good to know. I want to plug, Threedom is my other podcast with Paul F. Tompkins and Lauren Lapkus and myself. Just talking, playing games. That comes out on Thursdays. Everyone should listen to that. Now, Buck Tango, I'm going to give you a little time to plug something.
Great. That's another announcement.
Honestly, if it goes over like the whole mech conversation.
Look, I love to plug some future announcements. There's TBD announcements to come. And then I also, while I was making my suit, my exoskeleton, I was listening to this podcast about the band Weezer called What's With These Homies Talking About Weezer, hosted by this comedian, Matt Apodaca. He talks to his famous friends who do him favors.
You must be a fan of this because you're wearing a Weezer hat right now, and that's the only article of clothing other than your mech suit.
Well, yeah, it's I like to sort of model myself after the people that I listen to, because I'm a big fan of this guy.
Sure.
Because I listen to his podcast, and I also watch him stream video games on Twitch at twitch.tv/MattApodaca. This guy, I love him. He's the best.
Can't get enough of him.
I can't get enough.
He's the Weezer of comedians, whatever that means to you.
Yeah. Sometimes he's good, and sometimes he sucks.
All right, well, let's close up the old plug bag.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're getting a little eye mist. You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. You gotta open up the plug bag.
And don't mess around with it.
Boy, these are getting worse and worse.
That took a real turn there.
Yeah, that was They Shorted the Clothes Bag Market by Steve Bush. Thank you, Steve Bush. I guess. Thank you. Thank you. That was quite a ride. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Edgar, thank you so much for appearance number 4 on the show. Let's make it number 5 sometime.
Yes, please.
Wonderful. And let those be the last words we speak to each other. Yes, please. Yeah. And Ron and Russell, big fan of you for years. Of course, I'm in your movie saying as much. Thank you so much for look, there's a lot of podcasts you can choose to be on. Thank you for choosing to be on this one.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Ron, you're just nodding. Yeah, I need a verbal you're welcome or something like that.
Just go with Russell's. It was a pleasure.
Okay, we'll go with him. Okay.
Yeah.
Jack Furs, look, you set the camera down.
Oh shit, I did. Oh god damn it. I missed everybody's thank yous and byes.
Oh no.
Well, that's on me.
Yeah.
Scott, hey, let me turn the camera around and get on this side of the mic. I just want to thank Scott for letting me put the word out about my stolen car.
Yeah, if anyone sees that, it says Wolfmobile spray painted. What's the license plate?
It's N-T-W-L-F.
N-T-W-L-F. Mm. Oh, what an interesting string of letters put together.
And the passenger seat's real scratched up because payback gets antsy.
Oh, okay. Okay, good to know. And hey, Buck Tango, I would thank you for being on, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see you in 15 years. What do you say?
Yeah, let's make it 15 years for sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see the rest of you. We'll see you next time we have an episode, which is next week. All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, bye!